Hi, this is Lexi
and Sid
of Hess Van Schlemmer Metalworks and Art, home of the Schlemmer Metal Wolves. We are a small but furious family-run welding, fabrication, and metalworks shop with CNC capabilities and now full-scale powder coating operation. We bring unique, affordable quality art to life within the realm of practicality. Whether it's signs, sculptures, railings, shelves, furniture, or even just powder coat for your rims or your patio set, give us a look, check us out on Facebook or Instagram, or call 618-670-5724. We are Hess Van Schlemmer Metalworks. That was terrible.
We tried.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Let me tell you about my friends at Naked Vine, located at 1624 Clarkson Road in Chesterfield, Missouri. You can swing by and visit them Tuesday through Saturday with... And they have great live music happening on Thursday, July 26th, The Other Sun. Friday, July 27th, Bottoms Up Blues Gang. And Saturday, July 28th, Alligator Wine with their Grateful Dead tribute. You can find all these events and more at nakedvine.net. Be sure to follow along with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And I will be back out at Naked Vine on August 14th for my singer-songwriter storytelling show with Anna Shanoff, Bobby Stevens, and Matt Wynn. So keep an eye out for that event coming up soon. Again, everything nakedvine.net. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the show.
Podcast is kind of like a... It's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, this is Zach from the Hollow Ends. You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast, St. Louis, Missouri.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 paper podcast, y'all.
Don't go, oh, so I need.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today, welcome back to the show, Zach from the Hollow Ends.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Yeah, man, this is cool. We were just saying, kind of catching up a little bit off mic here, but it's been just over 2 years since your last appearance on the show. So it's kind of crazy to think about that it's already been 2 years. But
agreed. I suppose if I think about it, I do feel easily, at best, 2 years older, probably even older than that. But I'm still alive.
Yeah, man. Well, that's it. I'm glad. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I agree.
But you've been busy, man. You've been hard at work, working on this new record coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And the official debut album from... The Hollow Ends. I think last time we spoke about your EP you had at the time, mm-hmm. and we did even a live jam on there. But we got a brand new record. We got a big release party. We got a big tour coming up. We got a whole lot of things happening, and so I thought this would be a cool time to sit down and get to talk about all this stuff and all these exciting things.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate the effort.
Yeah.
You're the guy in St. Louis now. You're bigger than I am. I don't know why you're having me on the show. I'm bringing down the brand a little bit, but I appreciate you having me.
Well, I appreciate that. I don't know, man. It's pretty crazy that this has became what it is. I'm just riding the wave. I'm just a super fan, and I'm trying to showcase all this crazy talented people in this town and people are responding, so that it feels good, you know, that St. Louis Magazine named me best podcast in town.
Yeah, I think I saw. That's a great.
And
yeah,
that felt really good, you know. It's nice to get some of that recognition along the way and stuff. Yeah. So, but yeah, man, thank you for thanks for everything, man. I appreciate
sure,
it.
Thank
so,
you.
Like I said, the Hollow Ends have a big release party coming up on July 27th over at Blueberry Hill in the Duck Room. And that'll be an $8 show, and doors at 7, shows at 8.
Yep,
and you
that's
can
right.
purchase tickets today at the box office or Ticketmaster.com, right?
There, on the Facebook event, there's a ticket link for that, and then there's a ticket link at blueberryhill.com for the show and the events for that. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about this, man. This is this big release party. You're bringing out some friends.
Yeah, I've got my old friend Not he's not old, but we just go way back. Stephen Lytle, who's going to be just playing some of his. He's a really great singer-songwriter. He's going to be opening the show, and then after that is my friends the Good Deeds, who are sort of a St. Louis staple, and they're a great band, put on a great show. And then we will be closing the night. I'm lucky to have a couple of my friends join me on stage. Usually I play by myself. For this show, I decided to put together a band, some of whom, Steve and Lytle, who opens the show, will be in that band. And then some of the Good Deeds are going to come on and sing some harmonies and stuff. And so it's going to be a very colorful, sonically colorful evening, I hope. That's our goal. Yeah. We're working out all the bugs as we speak, but it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. I'm feeling better and better about it as the days go by, and getting more and more nervous about it as it goes, but that's part of it, and I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. I feel like Good Deeds haven't played in a while, so like that, that'll be cool to see them out again. So yeah, that's going to be a good party.
Yeah, they just played with a band called, I don't know if I'm saying it right, but I think it's called Cuenca, and I don't remember where they're from, but they're a great folk touring folk band. They just opened for them a month or so ago, and for the second time, and both they're a great band. They're my friends. They're great people. Looking forward to it. This is a perfect bill as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. You guys plan to play the whole record that evening?
I think all but one song. Yeah. So yeah, 10 songs from the record, and then a couple from my EP. I was talking about this with the guy who mixed the record, Ben Majak at Native Sound. He said that, like, I think the average time of each song is probably like 4.5 minutes, which is pretty long, at least from my perspective. But he said that they don't feel like they're that long, so like a set list of 10 songs ends up being like 50 minutes. And so you can't, I don't even think I could fit all the songs from the record in, because I'd be playing for an hour and a half or 2 hours. And
yeah.
So, but we are almost playing all the songs from the record, and so that I'm looking forward to sweating it out on stage.
Yeah. So so Bears in Mind is the name of the record. You said you recorded over a Native Sound, you said there?
I actually tracked it here in my house in the back room, and then sent all the tracks to Native Sound, and they mixed and mastered it.
Okay.
There. So yeah.
Very cool. Man, because it sounds incredible. Like, well, I really liked it a lot. Your vocals, and I love your style too. Just like the super like upbeat, you know, percussion and stuff that you do with it. Just the driving tempo, like, really just energizes me. Like when I listen to it, you know, some folk music can kind of be pretty laid back and like, you know, but what you're doing, like, it just definitely makes you want to get up and move a little bit and have some fun with it. So
yeah, thanks. I grew up on mostly high energy, you know, pop punk, kid punk music when I was young, and so that I've done my best to try to spread my wings a little bit, but yeah, most of the commentary I get is along the lines of high energy, mm-hmm. whether they think that's a good thing or a bad thing. Yeah, most of the sort of comments I get about my music is the high energy, and that's got to be from at least partially from growing up on punk rock and going to punk shows and playing. I played drums in a couple punk bands when I was younger, and so that's got to come from that.
Yeah.
But then the goal or the challenge from there is to try to make it a little more interesting. Like, I'm happy to have them be energetic songs, but you can't have a record full of 10 songs at 180 beats per minute. You know, it's got to be, you got to have a little bit more of a arc and a little more of a sort of variance per song. And so, I don't know. That's mm-hmm. that's sort of what I'm going for.
Yeah. Well, you, I know a lot of times you played out solo, like you're saying, and like you played with the drums,
mm-hmm.
With your feet, mm-hmm. and then and guitar and stuff. And I saw you just a bit ago at River City Opry.
Mm-hmm.
You did a solo set there. Did you have the drums? That did
yep.
you?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was trying to remember. I don't know. If, so like I said, you that's typically how your people see. But these,
mm-hmm.
but that night coming up here for the release party, you'd be able to see with the full band and the full effect. And like I said, this is all the record is all full band as well.
Yeah, I mean, I do the drums per se are still my foot drums,
okay.
and then I'll have a bass, upright bassist, and then guitar / mandolin player, and then a bunch of singers singing mm-hmm. harmonies and stuff. So it's still the project, and it's just gonna sound more like the record does, but I my contribution to it, I guess, still is sort of the backbone of the whole thing. So it still sounds
right.
It's just a sort more fleshed out version of what I do by myself.
Yeah. That was a pretty fun afternoon though, hanging out over
there. I thought that was so much fun. Yeah, I got to meet some great people that and I mean, it's certainly not a knock on them, but I didn't expect it to be nearly as fun as it was, and I had a blast. I met some great people, and I think that's such a great project to undertake, to be doing that, putting on a big show like that once a month, which is something that you're doing too. So I respect that a lot, to be able to put that together, because putting together one show like I'm doing is plenty of work already, but then doing that every month and starting the process all over again, it's got to be a lot of work to get people out. And so I appreciate being included. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's a really neat thing. They're doing once a month on a Sunday. They check out River City Opry,
mm-hmm.
Bringing a lot of great folk Americana music out for St. Louis. That's kind of what's fun too about it. Like looking at that and just seeing that how many great bands are in town, and how much, you know, there's still so much music I haven't discovered. I've been
mm-hmm.
seeing those names, and mm-hmm. I'm like, man, there's I don't know these guys. I'm excited to check that out. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree, and there's a lot of talent everywhere, and part of the problem is sort of getting through that membrane to where you get at. Like this year, I was lucky to get asked to do River City Opry, RFT Showcase, and Lo-Fi Cherokee all this year, and getting through that sort of membrane where people start to know who you are and all that stuff is a challenge, and I can't say that I've actually done that yet, but getting to that point where everyone wants to share their music, but there's so much going on, and being a name that everyone sort of is aware of takes a lot of work and takes a lot of stick-to-itiveness. And so I think that's a big part of the challenge to being in music, because like you say, not everyone knows. I've been in the St. Louis music scene for 5 years or so. I probably know 10% of the bands, and I probably know the people in the bands to an even lesser percentage. And so that's part of the fun and part of the challenge is getting your name out there to where you can be a part of the bands that you get invited to do fun things like that with.
Yeah. How was you had a good time with the Lo-Fi Cherokee that day?
Yeah, it was terrifying because it was just really, you get one chance and then you're done. And also that night, so that weekend I booked a show in Chicago, or no, let's see, no, I played a show in Madison, Wisconsin the night before Lo-Fi Cherokee, because I had booked these two shows and then got asked to do Lo-Fi Cherokee, and I didn't want to say no to any of it, so I just booked it all. And I played a show in Madison, Wisconsin, and then drove back from Madison, Wisconsin, which is about 5.5 hours, that night. Got back home at 8 o'clock in the morning, went to sleep for 3 hours, and then got up and went to do the Lo-Fi Cherokee video. Then that night, drove to Chicago and played another show with some friends. So, and I'm getting too old for that. I have a couple lines on my face to show for that. But it was fun. It was worth it. I'm so glad I didn't turn anything down, because... And I knew I would kick myself if I... I knew it was going to be really hard, but I also knew I'd kick myself if I canceled something or...
Right.
Yeah, it was worth it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm of a similar mentality. I mean, there's a lot of times... Shit, just last week I was... there was a couple of things come up, and I didn't sleep for like 2 days. I just, like, well... Party keeps going, and I just, like, you know, kept rolling, and I was exhausted by the weekend. I had to just, like, take a step back and, you know, recoup and sleep for a little while, but, like, you know.
I think life, music, and then life generally is just sort of about what experiences you can pull out of it, and if you say no to stuff, especially when they're really fun opportunities, because... You'll be tired later. I don't know. That's not a good enough excuse for me, at least not yet. Maybe when I get even older. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's what it's about, is when you get those kind of opportunities, and it sounds like it's going to be fun, it's a story.
Sure.
It's a way more boring story to tell if you just said, well, I said no, and I went to sleep. You know, interesting a story. It's way more crazy to stay up, get 2 hours of sleep, and then go play two more shows.
So what are you listening to on that traveling? I mean, that's like 10 hours on the behind the wheel.
A lot of podcasts, a lot of music. But then there's sometimes where it's like in the middle of the night, I have to have something where I'll, you know, I would worry about falling asleep. But sometimes on long drives on tour or something, I just like to turn it off and just have nothing on and just drive with silence. I don't know. I mean, it's sort of meditative a little bit.
Sure. I agree. I mean, I do the same. I mean, when you're around loud music all the time, sometimes you just need that break to decompress a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm behind the wheel a lot with, you know, living out west and driving into the city all the time, and some people, you know, I tell people all the time, like when I tell them I live out there, and they're like, you drive in, you know, 45 minutes every day, and I'm like, I don't care. I mean, not that big a deal. People think that's like forever, but it's like, it's not that big a deal. And for me, especially if I'm going out to record a podcast, allows me some time to think about, like, prepare and or listen to their album or different things and stuff. But I don't mind the drive, like, it's, but yeah, 5 hours from Wisconsin home, and then 5 hours to Chicago and then back. I guess that's a pretty good week.
And I slept well the next, when I finally got to.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's what it's about.
Sure.
If you're not willing to work at it, then you don't deserve you don't deserve the success that comes with it, I suppose. Which I'm still waiting on the second part, but I'm willing to work at least for now, till the wheels fall off.
All right. What song was it you did for Lo-Fi?
Bears in Mind, which is the title track from the record.
Yeah, well, let's play that one, man. That's like I said, title track appears as track 3 on this record. Anything you want to care to add around that one as well?
No, that one just sort of set the tone. It was one of the last ones I wrote, but it just sort of came out pretty organically. I didn't really have to do a whole lot of... Most of my songs, I have to build them up and tear them back down and recreate them and all that stuff. That one just sort of came out pretty straightforward, pretty organically, and then it also just kind of set the tone for the record and for what I wanted the branding and all that stuff to be. And so that's why I made that one the title track of the record. It's definitely one of my favorites from the record.
Yeah. Very cool.
singing all alone. Oh, sounds the voice of others, and your heart beats oh so high below the surface until it goes away. Why do I deserve this? Pray for the break of day. Don't be scared, but there's nowhere for you to escape. Oh, the bears will be bears, or as they must have prey. Don't go the warmer side, between the fire and water line. Go low if you rise, your skin will boil and brine so high below the surface. Pray that the flames will turn. Why burn up in the furnace and Johnny avoids the bends? Don't be scared, but there's nowhere for you to escape. Scowl and disembowel. So how you doing, pal? You hear that howl and now so high below the surface until it goes away. Why do I deserve this? Pray for the break of day. Don't be scared, but there's nowhere for you to escape.
Are you plans to do some official music videos?
Not for this record, more than likely. I have some like little teasers that are coming out this week and next week that I really love, that a friend did, Mike Dalton did, and a couple of his crew did for me. But that's about the closest thing I'm getting to a music video this time around. Although those teasers turned out so cool that I am reconsidering. I had a moratorium on real music videos because sometimes they can be awful cheesy, but if you get the right filmmaker and the right group of people, you can make a cool music video. And so
yeah,
perhaps in the future, but not for this record.
Right. Yeah, I have a few friends around town that have been creating some really cool things, and like It's fun. Well, like, you know, again, like I was saying, some can kind of be pretty cheesy, but it's like I have some that have been, you know, putting together like actual pieces, you know, short movies almost. Like, you know, it's like it's so much theatrics into it all. Like, it just really comes together, it comes to life, and it's not your typical music videos and stuff. So it's like it's cool to see people actually like you know, making real art out of it and all that.
Yeah, the thing that is the thing that is sort of cringeworthy about some, I mean, some music videos are amazing. And I mean, I won't name any names here, but there's either way, but some music videos I absolutely love. Mm-hmm. And it's just so brilliant how you can take the medium and turn it into this whole other art form. But then the music videos where it's like, you know, on a mountain and there's wind blowing in their hair and you're pretending to play the song, that's just like, this is not interesting to watch. I want the music video to be this extra piece of art, not just you playing a song looking cool. I don't know. And whatever. I'm not bagging on anybody, but if that's your thing, I'm just not interested in that. And also, you know, I think it helps when you look like Jared Leto or somebody, then okay, fine, you can get away with that because it's interesting because he's a good-looking dude. That doesn't work for me because I don't have any eyebrows and I don't have I'm not the most. I don't pop off the screen except for the redness of my skin and stuff. Other than that, I'm becoming more open-minded for that reason because I've seen so many. I think a lot of people get the hint that music videos can have been cheesy and boring when there's so much fertile ground there for interesting things. So there's certainly. I've actually been considering that for whatever my next release might be, doing some sort of music video.
Sure.
Who knows?
Well, Matt Bosler. From he's been
making, sounds familiar.
He's been, he makes some videos every now and then, uses like stop motion stuff or animation and things, and like he's created some really neat things. So even if it weren't for, if you were like didn't want to be the face of the video, like there's other options. Like I think that's sure, what's kind of fun too, is like,
oh sure, I would be as long as the person making it, you know, was good at it, that's right. All I really would care about.
But maybe someday we'll get a Hollowlands video out there.
I think it's a strong possibility.
But for now, you can get involved. Check out. I guess we can get involved on the Facebook and Instagram for those teasers and stuff coming soon.
And yep, on both of those. Yep.
And then you also have a Twitter, and we have the EP available on Spotify. Released any of the singles on there yet?
There's a couple singles. The second and third singles are on Spotify right now, yes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, those are on there. And then the first single, which is Bears in Mind, the title track, is on SoundCloud, in which you can find on my website.
Yeah. Well, let's share The Low. This is... you said this one hasn't been out there yet. I guess we're gonna be an exclusive here today.
Yeah, this is the first track of the record. A couple friends from a friend's band of mine called Mighty Brother from New Orleans recorded some really beautiful harmonies on this one. It's probably the reason, those harmonies are probably the reason that this one even made it on the record, because they're really great. Yeah, and it's the first track of the record, and I love how that one turned out.
Cause I was dying to know.
about the day we lost our soul.
Yeah, I agree, man. It's a great song, and I guess those get. I think we talked about them the last time. I guess you've been friends with those guys for quite a while.
As a matter of fact, the first tour I went on, I don't remember the first little mini tour I went on. It was just like four shows. I played a show with them. Actually, I kind of didn't really think about that. I don't think it was the first show, but it was maybe the second show of that little 4-day tour. That's when I met them. And then they wanted to come through St. Louis maybe later that year. And then we just decided to go on a little winter tour together. And then we have been friends ever since. And the tour I'm going on this summer, I mean, they're actually doing a handful of dates with me on that. And they're just great guys. And they're probably going to be on the... probably going to play a couple songs with me on the road too. So, yeah.
I imagine that's got to be probably the best part about doing a record and putting, you know, all this together is being able to call on friends to do that kind of stuff. You know, like lend either whether it's singing or playing or just even giving you some advice and stuff. I'm sure it's always nice to have those friends like that to help you out.
Oh yeah, and I have so many talented friends to draw from who get to bump my stupid songs up a notch where it becomes something far more legitimate when I have my friend Jen playing, who played strings on this record, my friend Steve, who sang and played mandolin, my friend Dave, who played upright bass, a bunch of other people, my friend Twain, he's listed as the creative consort. And I still don't quite know what that means, except that he didn't play a note on the album, but he helped write some of the parts because he was sitting in when we would like record other stuff.
Yeah.
So, and I decided to give him I actually forgot to give him credit for that, and then he reminded me, and so I put him on there. So anyway, yeah. I am a big believer in any of your talented friends whose influence you can draw from. You should absolutely listen to them and should absolutely give them some freedom to do what they do. The same thing I do with my album artwork. It's the same thing I do with like photos. The same thing I do with anything. It's if you let an artist be an artist, then they're going to come up with something really cool, and it's going to be something that you never would have thought of on your own. Right. And it just brings everything up 10 levels. I love the sort of collaboration part of making music and making art generally. And
yeah,
it's one of my favorite things. That's why this quote unquote band is so much fun, is because I get to add some of my friends to it. And,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've often called on various artists to help me out with a show poster or do different things, and they always ask me, like, what do I want? And I'm like, just do your thing. Like,
yeah, that's what I do, yeah.
That's why I asked you, like, this is what you do, not, you know, so I might tell them if I like it, you know, if I don't like it, but, like, you know, I'd rather that let them have creative freedom to whatever it is, because usually it's going to be way better than ever I ever thought of, you know, could think of. So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, I agree. Just letting the artists do what they do.
Yeah. And that's the album artwork, by my old friend, Tony Foster, who's a graphic designer, and pretty much, I mean, we had some more conversations about what it was I was looking for, but for the most part, I just let him do what he wanted. And, I mean, I love the way it turned out. Again, just bumps everything up a notch. He does most, if not all, of my artwork up to this point. It's much better than pretending as though I have this grand vision, because it's obvious that if you just let somebody who has talent bring their talent to your thing, it's just gonna raise it up a level to a new thing you never thought it would have been.
Right. Yeah. Well, again, the release party, July 27th, with the Good Deeds and Stephen Lytle, $8 tickets. You have physical copies of the record available for purchase that night. But I'm guessing it'll also hit all the platforms that day as well for digital mm-hmm. download.
Yep. And you can also pre-order it now on my website. Although I'm not sure that'll really matter by the time, because I guess the pre-order would get there earlier, but depending on when someone orders a pre-order, I don't know if it'll get there. But as of now, you can pre-order the record on my website and get it in the mail a little couple days earlier.
TheHollowinds.com, and you can also find the rest of your summer tour dates there. You said you yep. are gearing up to hit the road with and stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
how many dates you...
Yeah. For the most of August, I think it's 21 or 22 dates through Texas and Louisiana, Memphis, Tuscaloosa, Nashville, and then the last half of August I'll be up in the sort of upper Midwest, Wisconsin. I'll have a show in Minneapolis and Des Moines. All mm-hmm. that stuff's on the website. And I'm looking forward to that, too. I haven't actually been on a tour, and this would be my first tour in about a year and a half.
Oh, wow.
So looking forward to that.
And it sounds like a pretty good run, man.
It's going to be long overdue, and I'm also going to see how much older I've gotten in that short amount of time.
Do you get to do, I mean, like, that kind of stuff when you mentioned even earlier, you know, hitting Chicago and Wisconsin and all that, but do you take time to actually enjoy the cities, or do you pretty much you know, show up and play? And
when I'm touring by myself, which is what most of this tour will be, is by myself just in my car,
right?
I'm sort of a natural early riser, especially if I'm crashing. You know, when you're on tour, at least at my level, there's no way you can afford hotels every night, and there's no way you can. So you know, you're sleeping on people's couches and stuff that you probably met that night, or friends maybe. And when you wake up in a stranger's living room, I don't know. For me, I feel like just getting out of there as early as possible. So I'm probably up at 7:30, 8 in the morning. And then I'll go get some coffee and get a little bit of work done and then hit the road. Every now and then, depending on the drive I have in front of me, I'll go check out a new city if I've never been. I've never been to Des Moines. I've never been to Oklahoma City. So I'll probably try to, and I haven't been to Minneapolis in a long time. So I'll probably try to check out some, yeah, I like checking out new cities if I get the time to.
Yeah, I would definitely be Googling the best pizza place in town and all that stuff, trying to sample all the fine cuisine around.
I like trying to find the coffee shops that are downtown. That's very touristy of me, but I love downtowns because it's just sort of this, that's where the city is, you know, right. And obviously those aren't the coolest parts of any city most of the time, but I don't know, there's something about, I was sitting in a coffee shop in Cleveland, downtown Cleveland, and I was just kind of looking out the window at the old city of Cleveland by the, I think Cleveland's on the lake, right? I'm sounding like an idiot, but I love downtown Cleveland, and I was just sitting in this really yuppie coffee shop, and I was just like, you know what, this is pretty great, and I'm touristy as hell right now, but I don't care.
Right.
I like it. And yeah, so that's usually what I'll look up, is go find a coffee shop and sit and do my work and have some local coffee.
Yeah,
there you go. Or local beer for that matter. I like finding breweries too.
Yeah. I just kind of turned into a pretty good debate on my page. I was trying to figure out about local music, you know, trying to get people to shows and stuff, and like, and kind of the conversation come up how like people are always excited to tell you about their new local beer or their local food or whatever it is, but like it's hard to get people to talk about their friends and local bands and stuff.
Yeah, that's
like
a great point.
I don't know. It was really it was an interesting thing. I mean, it's, I don't know what it is, but yeah, we're all, I don't know. It was an interesting conversation we had. So
you know, I wonder if some of that, I mean, I'll just speak for myself. When I think this is something you have to let go of, and it's my problem, not anyone else's problem. But when other bands are maybe more successful than you, and they're getting there's. If I'm being totally honest, the truth is there's just this like under the surface, just a little bit of resentment where you're like, why don't I get to have that? I want to be asked to do that and this and that. And that's a silly thing. And you keep working, and then eventually that stuff comes along and you have to let that go.
Right.
However, perhaps the reason maybe that people aren't promoting there are other bands that are in town, but they are happy to promote other beers. Maybe the reason that I'm not doing that, or the reason that I wasn't doing that, is because of that sort of secret resentment I have. Mm-hmm. And you gotta let that go. And I think it's a great point. I haven't read this debate, so I wonder what the points that were made on. But
it got pretty heated.
It got heated.
Oh yeah.
Really? Okay. Wow. That's rare for Facebook. Facebook almost never gets heated. I mean, right. Usually, almost always, right. Commentary on the internet is very
sure.
Anyway, that
everybody always gets the jokes and stuff. You know, it's like
anyway,
nobody ever gets
overextended.
Their feelings hurt.
But no, I think that's a great point, and I'm gonna actually consider that, because I do tell people about local beers, and I do tell people about local coffee shops, and I don't think I spend that much time talking about local bands.
Right.
So, I mean, you gotta fix it.
Yeah.
Gotta grow up.
I think we can all step it up and do our part.
I agree. And I'll try to do mine. You know.
Right. But yeah, I think we have a ton of, that's what I love about St. Louis. I mean, we do have, so many options for entertainment and food and beers. And I mean, there's a lot of really cool things. A lot of people working really hard in this town, and so it's just fun to be a part of all of this, you know.
Yeah.
So, But yeah, man, I think it would be fun to get out there and see some of the world, see some of the country, and getting to hopefully make some new fans along the way and share your songs. And so
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So getting to get involved at thehollowinds.com for the full listing of tour dates and all the Facebook events. You can RSVP for when Zach's coming to a town near you. And again, come on out to the party, pick up a copy of the record. And thank you so much for doing this, man.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me. I can't wait to put out another record so I can come back on.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you already working for writing for the next one?
I am, as a matter of fact. There are also a handful of songs that I cut from the record that I will release on at some point on something. I don't know what yet, probably some EP maybe next year or something, but I haven't even thought that far ahead.
Right.
And I'm also just kind of always writing, and so I'm already sort of thinking about, I haven't even put this record out yet, and I'm already sort of thinking about what the next direction I want future music to go in. Because I don't know, I'm a masochist, I guess. But yeah.
I think that's got to be everybody's mind, though. You know, it's like, yeah, like you said, this one's not even finished, you know, not even out there yet, but like, you always got to be thinking a couple steps ahead of what the next move is going to be and things. So,
yeah.
You know, I think that's just regardless of whatever you're doing. I mean, we just happen to be talking about music today, but I think everybody's always trying to, you know, that's why, you know, in a relationship every time, it seems like, you know, oh, hey, we just started dating. When are you guys getting married? Well, you know, when are you having babies?
Right.
It's like everybody always wants to...
Hey, yeah, settle like, down. Right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody wants to always plan it. What's the next thing going to be? So,
right.
But you always got to kind of be planning ahead. So yeah. I'm glad to hear that you have you're not slowing down with the writing and stuff. So hopefully we'll get, like I said, that EP maybe or anything, whatever, you know, something, some more tunes. Like, I think, I mean, because as a fan, like, when I'll listen to a record and, like, I'm like, cool, that was great. When's the next one? You know, it's like,
I do the same thing.
I'll come back to it.
Yeah, why can't we just appreciate a thing? But, no, I'm the same thing. I'm very impatient, and I'm impatient making my own music, and so.
Yeah. I mean, I'll still listen to it and love it, but it's like, regardless, I mean, you could put out 20 songs or whatever it is, I'm still going to be wanting, hey, when's the next one coming in? So.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I'm the same way.
Right.
But that's what the love of the music is. You just sort of crave it and you want more. I get it, you know.
But, so again, check out the couple singles on Spotify. Hold you over till the full record's available. And, like I said, I appreciate you doing this, man. Thanks again.
Thanks for having me.
I'll see you soon.
Yeah.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.